Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for October 26, 2007. This week, worms and bacteria team up with toxic results. And is chewing gum still chewing gum if it doesn't stick to everything? But first, Suzanne Bard has a report about some very hairy genetics research.
It's not easy reconstructing the genetic code of extinct animals. That's because the DNA found in old bones and muscle tissue degrades over time and gets contaminated. Now researchers studying the extinct woolly mammoth have developed a better way of piecing together the past by using something the mammoths have plenty of, hair. Stefan Schuster is a molecular geneticist at Penn State University. He says ancient bones act like sponges for contaminants, but hair shafts seal the DNA inside.
Hair is more like a biological plastic, so all the bacteria and the fungi, they remain on the outside.
Schuster says he and his colleagues hope to find out why the mammoths went extinct by assessing the genetic health of their populations.
We like to learn whether they still had a very healthy state of their genetic diversity or whether it was already degrading, and whether the genetic makeup of those animals contributed to them going extinct.
He says that because most mammoths went extinct at the end of the last ice age, studying their demise is especially relevant today.
Right now, we are living in a time of changing climate, and so we need to understand this connection between species going extinct and what the climate had to do with that. We absolutely need to understand what happened after the last ice age. And so we hope we can learn the lesson of what happened 12,000 years ago and apply this knowledge to today.
He adds that the new technique could be used to reconstruct the past of other mammals besides mammoths. In fact, it could also be very useful for analyzing the DNA from the hair of human mummies.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, speaking of our ancient past, Justin Warner is going to tell you about a very old survival trait that's still with us today.
Our prehistoric ancestors were constantly watching for animals, either to hunt prey or to avoid the occasional lion attack. This knack for spotting animals persists even today, according to a study from the University of California at Santa Barbara. The experiment involved a known psychological phenomenon called change blindness. The researchers showed people pairs of similar but non-identical pictures, which toggled rapidly back and forth on a computer screen. Evolutionary psychologist Joshua New, now at Yale, says this makes it hard to notice seemingly obvious differences between the pictures.
It's a little bit unnerving to see them staring at a picture where an entire grain silo is actually disappearing and reappearing, and in many cases the subjects just decide that there's no change at all.
Yet the volunteers spotted changes involving people or animals much more easily, even when they were small and peripheral. This was true even compared to cars and trucks,
which are ubiquitous in modern environments and can actually have life or death consequences, and we're trained throughout our life to pay attention to them.
New says the fact that we're better at noticing animals, which aren't really relevant to our survival anymore, suggests that our animal radar is probably hardwired and not learned.
Thanks, Justin. Nematodes are tiny roundworms that live almost everywhere. Many are beneficial, killing insect pests. At a meeting of the Society of General Microbiology, researchers described the hunting behavior of one nematode that teams up with bacteria. The worms carry the bacteria inside an insect and then release them. The bacteria release a toxin that kills the bug, which they then devour. The bacteria reproduce, and then the nematode eats the bacteria. The scientists hope the bacterial toxin could be a useful insecticide. In other bug news, Vanderbilt University researchers studying cockroaches have found that they can learn new things only at night. In the morning, cockroaches are virtually unteachable. The researchers are studying the bugs' brains to better understand the factors involved in learning, not only in bugs, but in people, too. Next, Suzanne answers a listener's question.
Listener Jacob Campbell of Brookfield, Wisconsin, wrote to ask how rainbows are made. We turn to optical engineer Suzanne St. Cyr, who works on satellite telescopes that NASA launches into space. She says that the sun's rays are made up of white light, which actually contains every color in the visible spectrum. Rainbows form when sunlight hits water droplets, separating these colors.
When the light hits the water droplet at an angle, that slows the light down, and that causes the light to bend. And different colors bend different amounts. The blue bends the most, and the red the least, and so that spreads these colors out in the sky according to their speed.
And if you have a science question, call us at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If we use your question, you'll win a science update mug.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, it's official. A chewing gum that won't stick to shoes, hair, or pavement may soon be coming to a store near you. It's made by a British company called Revolimer, spun off from the University of Bristol. CEO Roger Petman says they've replaced sticky ingredients found in regular gum with a polymer that easily detaches from surfaces. They field tested it on a number of surfaces, including real city sidewalks.
So as soon as it rains, our chewing gum is simply washed away. And in 3 out of 4 cases, the commercial gums just remain there.
They also found that the gum actually dissolves in water over several weeks, which may curb the impact of chewing gum litter. Pending government approval, they hope to start selling the gum in Europe and the United States within a year. Well, that's all for this week. Next week, new software that allows people to control a computer mouse with their voice could make computers more accessible to people with disabilities. We'll tell you why spiders don't get stuck in their own webs, and we'll learn why the appendix might not be so useless after all. If you like our podcast, tune into the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition. We've got an electrifying new story about science every single weekday, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website or at iTunes. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.